I have a timely resource for a very specific group of you. If you remember listening to episode 51, How to Use Your School Counseling Skills in Private Practice, you'll remember my friend and former colleague, Lorraine Holman. Lorraine set out to start her own private practice and now wants to teach you why you should and how to open your own viable private practice as a licensed professional counselor. Join Lorraine at a live 2-day virtual private practice workshop for school counselors. This 4.5-hour training will cover LPC licensure steps, private practice documentation essentials, developing your niche and ideal client, maximizing your profit, marketing for beginners, and essential mindset shifts from school counseling to private practice. You'll walk away from this workshop with the tools and confidence that you need to launch your private practice as a full-time or part-time option. Register today for this paid workshop. Space is limited to 15 school counselors and it costs $259. I'm a huge fan of Lorraine and the work that she's doing as an LPC supervisor and a former high school counseling department head. Head back to episode 51 to hear more about her story, but more importantly, if you have a tug to learn more about the practicalities of moving into private practice, I want you to head to counselorclick.com/private practice to learn more and sign up. That's counselorclick.com/private practice, and I hope you'll get to learn from Lorraine at the live workshops on June 7th and June 15th.
You know, it's easy for us in the world of education to complain about, oh, woe me, we don't have this. They keep throwing all of these things on our plates that we shouldn't be doing as counselors. This is your opportunity to show them why you can't do this. Do all of these extra duties that are not counselor duties, if you will. That's your opportunity to advocate for yourself. That's your opportunity to show your stakeholders how valuable you are to a school. Like, if there are no counselors in the school, that school will fall apart. Counselors are truly the heart of any school.
High School Counseling Conversations is a podcast where we talk about exactly that, a casual potpourri of school counseling topics intended to grow us as school counselors, but also give us space to enjoy each other's company. I'm Lauren from Counselor Click, and I'm sharing my experiences and perspectives as a high school counselor. No topic is off limits, and I'm certain we'll cover it all. I'm your high school counseling hype girl, here to help you energize your school counseling program and remind you of how much you love your job. Whether you're just getting your feet wet as an intern or you're nearing retirement, you'll feel like you're just popping in to catch up with your school counseling bestie. Let's go. Welcome to episode 19 of High School Counseling Conversations. I'm so excited to have not one, but two guests on the podcast today. I have Lauren and Vira from Ashley Ridge High School in Charleston, South Carolina, and they are going to tell you a little bit about themselves before we get started. But really, I invited them on to talk about their advisory council because I love advisory councils and y'all haven't had much to say about advisory councils. So I want somebody else who has had a successful advisory council at their high school to give their perspective. And we'll just go ahead and dive right in. I thought of some questions that I wanted to ask them, but we'll get started. And Lauren and Vira, why don't y'all go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourselves and your school counseling department and like your school as a whole?
Sure.
Well, you want to start, Lauren?
Sure. So I'm Lauren LaPera. I am a ninth grade counselor. So here at Ashley Ridge, we have me and another counselor, and we just do ninth grade. And then the rest of the counselors will do 10th through 12th. So I just got started. This is my second year. So last year I did middle school, and this is my first year in high school. And I'm really excited that I ended up at Ashley Ridge because we have an awesome team, and an awesome leader who is Vira.
Well, how do you follow that? But thank you so much, first of all, for having us on the show today. My name is Vira James. This is, I believe, my 15th year in.
You just stopped counting after like.
I know, right? This is like 15 in this profession, and I still love it just like it was year one. Of course, it always comes with its own set of challenges. But I started my career as a career specialist when the EEDA was first passed in 2008. And then I moved into a high school counseling position in Sumter, South Carolina. I stayed there for several years. Then we relocated here to Charleston area. And I worked at Academic Magnet High School for a couple of years. And then I transitioned here to Ashley Ridge to be a little bit closer to home. So I've had experiences in three very different high schools. Well, actually four very different high schools. And I feel like Ashley Ridge is definitely the best of all of the high schools that I've been in combined in one. So I'm very excited to be here.
That's awesome. I love hearing everyone's different path to how they got there and like what your different schools have been like.
Yeah. So another thing that's unique about Ashley Ridge, other than having two counselors that are exclusive to our ninth grade students, we also have two counselors that are prevention and intervention. And so they primarily work with our students that are at risk for not moving on to the next grade level. So they have, so they have kind of have like smaller caseloads and they kind of really hone in with those students and really work very closely with them and their teachers to kind of get them back on track so that they can graduate on time.
Awesome. How long have you been the director and how big is your team?
So this is my first year at Ashley Ridge, and we have a total of 9 counselors, including myself, again, 2 freshman counselors and 2 counselors that are for the prevention and intervention program. And then the 5 of us are the upperclassmen, 10th through 12th grade counselors, and we are split by alphabet. Mm-hmm. And our goal is to keep the same alphabet and just maybe shift responsibilities moving forward if someone's caseload creeps up a little bit larger than the other person's caseloads.
Yeah, I get that. Okay, let's dive into advisory councils. How long have y'all had one? What made you want to start it? Like, walk us through the steps from when you started it and kind of how it's evolved.
So our school was actually, when it first started, it was actually ramped. So that was from 2011 to 2012.
And y'all are both new. So you like stepped into the already established ramp program.
Well, we did. It was established and I think it lost some steam along the way. And so we're trying to pick that steam back up and get it rolling again, if you will.
And we're really using the advisory council to kind of start that process. So I think COVID, it was on and off since COVID, which makes sense, getting stakeholders in the building, doing it over Teams and just not having a typical school year can make that process kind of tricky. But now we've really honed in at what we want our advisory council to look like. And then next year we'll start trying for ramp again. But this was really our first step in, okay, this is the foundation that we want because we think it's so beneficial to start that process of picking up ramp again.
And it's a really easy first step, right? Like you're just getting people in the room and those are the people who are going to inform your program to start that ramp process.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. So yeah, you're getting the stakeholders around the table to help. You know, the advisory council is not only there to kind of hear your ideas and the goals that you have for your department, but they're also, they can also be people to go out and advocate for you and your program. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if you have the right persons at your table, you already have those mouthpieces out there in the school community and the greater community that's going to help support you in what you're doing in your program.
It's like we say this over and over and no one hears us, but then somebody comes to your meeting and they're like, listen to this cool program they're doing.
Exactly. Like, that's exactly what happened.
It did. So many times.
It happened. That's exactly what happened to us. That's exactly what happened to us this year.
We had 2 board members and we're very strategic about who we invite to these meetings. So these are people
And it's not like in a deceitful way. It's like, you know, the person who has a voice in your community who has influence among the other teachers or something.
Exactly. And these 2 board members who came were so excited because they didn't really know what we did. And when we were able to allow everyone to speak their piece at the table, so every counselor got to talk and share what they're contributing to the school, the community, and just the department. And these board members were like, wow, like we had no idea
right.
that y'all were doing this. And they were so excited. We were going over all of our data. They were asking us questions. We got to collaborate. And it was a really, we left feeling so empowered yes. after that. And that makes you want to do more.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like something small that gets the motivation even in yourself and in your program, like really amped up.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. It definitely helped motivate us and mm-hmm. help us. It made us want to engage them more. Mm-hmm. You know, if they don't have a clue as
right.
board members, you know, even teachers in the building, you know, can you imagine the community at large? Mm-hmm.
They have, you know, no idea that we even exist.
Idea. They think the only thing that high school counselors specifically you're there to do is to change my student's schedule.
And I knew that is what you're so
far.
Say.
Yeah. That is so far removed from what we actually
yeah.
should be doing. You know, mm-hmm. that's such a small part of the puzzle that we have. And as a part of this, you know, of the school that it's, but that's really what they think. Mm-hmm. And it's so unfortunate.
So when y'all came in, you were a little newer to the advisory council. Had you done it at other schools where you had been at, or was it like, okay, we're kind of starting this and we don't know, but people on your team already knew how to do it? Like, how did you know what to do?
Well, I have had advisory council meetings and have been a part of advisory council meetings in my previous experiences. Some were great. Some were learning experiences. So I came in knowing, definitely knowing the importance of an advisory council. And, you know, I'm glad that I have a team of other counselors here who see the value in it. And we were all on the same page and, you know, just really being strategic, as Lauren said, about who we wanted to have at the table to hear what we're doing in our department and what we wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You don't have to throw anyone or any school under the bus, but what were some of the like no-nos that as you sat in some poor advisory councils that you were like, we're not going to do that, or we're going to make sure that doesn't happen? What were some of those things?
It was led by one counselor only. She took the lead at the meeting. She did everything. The other counselors just sat there and said nothing. So they weren't as engaged as the counselors here are. Every single counselor in this department had a piece in the advisory council. Every
Which makes
counselor,
you proud to be a part of it.
Absolutely. Exactly. And it shows your stakeholders that everyone's bought in mm-hmm. and everyone's engaged in this process. And it's not just one person that's taken the lead and run with it. It's the entire department that's on the same page. But at the one that I was learning, the learning experience one, it was just one counselor and she did not have any pride. It was just like, this is just something for me to do. I'm just checking the box. I'm not really trying to, I'm not really trying to engage my stakeholders. I'm just trying to get this done. And she just, and it was evident.
And we don't have time to just add one more thing to not have it be something worthwhile.
Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
This is something that is so worthwhile when you do care, when you do put in the effort of who you're going to invite and it shows. And then on the opposite side, it sounds like it really shows when it's someone who doesn't care or the whole team is not invested. It's like very evident either way what the purpose of this is for.
Yeah.
Well, you're really forming a team who not only in the school has your back, but in the community has your back, because the one that I've seen, and now the one I saw was during my internship, but it was the counselors just presenting this data and no one was really actively engaged. So the stakeholders were there, but they just kind of watched like it was a presentation or a lecture. Mm-hmm. When we had ours, we sat at a round table. We could all see each other and everybody questions were directed at the students, directed at the teacher, the counselor, the board member, admin. So it was more like a conversation that was engaging and, you know, worth that time rather than just standing up there mm-hmm. and just presenting the data. Like we really got to share our story with the stakeholders and hear theirs.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. I feel like that makes it's formal in a professional sense. Like
right.
you have thought through the data, you've put together some slides, you have handouts, like you are a very professional person showing your value and your role in the school, but it's
absolutely.
Informal in that you want it to feel like a conversation. You want to invite the feedback and you want people to feel comfortable saying, mm-hmm. I don't feel supported in this area. You know, you have a student who actually gives a good idea because they feel comfortable saying, I wish you did this.
Absolutely.
And you want that.
And Absolutely. We had that happen.
Yes, we
had a student there
yes.
and she shared, to be very transparent, that, you know, there was a stigma sometimes coming down to the counselor's office. And maybe that's why kids aren't just making their way down there.
Yeah.
Like, we really have to work to engage them.
Yeah.
And she shared some wonderful feedback. And if she hadn't felt comfortable, we may have never learned that and then could adjust for next year so yeah. we can better support them. So her comfort, and she was at a table with all adults.
Yeah.
So we really had to make her feel like she was in a safe space and she felt comfortable enough that she was able to share her truth. So we can do something with that feedback.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Absolutely. And it sounds like really even just the way your room was set up, like around a round table where everyone can see each other, you can kind of bounce conversations. It's not a formal meeting. It's a conversation.
It mm-hmm. is. Yeah. We tried to make it very comfortable for everybody that was there. Because again, like Lauren said, we wanted to make everyone feel like, listen, we want you to buy into this advisory council. Mm-hmm. We want you to buy into our department and our goals and the things that we want to do. And we want you to be comfortable enough to share with us your thoughts and ideas if we bring something to you. It's not like we're bringing it to you just to present it. Like,
right.
we're going to do this. We don't really care what you say. We're just going to do this. No, we really want your input. Like, we really want to know what you think about this, or what do you think about this data, or what can we do different? You know, so we really want to engage and have them be a part of our council meetings.
And that's the neat thing about hearing their feedback at meeting number one. And then when you change things or you implement something or you take their idea or suggestion and do something about it, you come back at the next meeting and they're like, wow, they listened to me. Wait, they have an update about like
yeah.
how that suggestion went. Like, then they feel empowered as stakeholders to keep showing back up and to keep bringing their input to the table.
Oh yeah, exactly. For sure. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So who were some of your key stakeholders that you had around the table? Because I'm sure maybe you have some people this year that you were like, okay, that went well, or you're already thinking about next year, because you don't have to have the same people year to year. But who are some of your most valuable members, or you know, what kinds of people did you have around the table?
Sure. So we had our principal there. We had an assistant principal there. Mm-hmm. We had a community member. She's a community partner with the school there. We had two board members present. We had a couple of students.
Yep.
And we had a teacher there as well.
And then every single counselor in our department
yeah,
was there.
Every
so
counselor.
How many people mm-hmm. about total?
Oh, 25 yeah. maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that's large. That's a lot. Was it 20?
It may have been in the teens, but it definitely, like, we had three tables put together and we were all around it. So it
yeah.
was a big venue.
So I might be over exaggerating the 25, but maybe because I'm thinking about how long that table was, but we had a larger advisory council.
We may have had like 15, 17 people.
Oh, okay.
There.
And
cool.
do you feel like that was a good number?
We do.
And like yeah. the right people were represented at the table?
Yeah. Our students, we used our students.
They run student council.
Student council.
Like the president
members.
Was there.
Yeah.
I think next year I'd be interested in getting some students who maybe aren't on that council, because
yes.
there are high flyer kids. Like
yes.
there are ones who are doing everything. I'd
yes,
like to hear from some other kids
100%.
Who maybe would like a little bit extra support, because they're going to bring something else that maybe we haven't thought of.
Yeah.
So get a new demographic.
Yeah. I thought, like, if I look at that table, like the students who are there, I want to see our school represented. So
right. absolutely.
The average student, or the student who goes to the career center, or just the different perspectives, because
yeah.
they all have very different experiences
right.
at your school, just because of who they are, what they look like, what they're involved mm-hmm. in, what they care about. So those are
yeah.
really valuable voices to have at the table.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And
Absolutely.
They can see each other there too. Like, oh, like I feel the same way. Like they can connect with each other
yeah.
and feel connected to our department and the school. So that could be a really interesting dynamic to see how that kind of plays out in an advisory council.
And it'll also show the student population that, you know, we care about mm-hmm. all students and
right.
not just the ones at the top.
Right.
Right. Right.
Which is extremely important.
Or the mm-hmm. ones who go to meetings anyway and make the decisions
right.
for students in the school. It's like, wow, I'm a
That's true.
C student. student and I have a voice in my school. Okay. Exactly. Like, they want to hear me. So talk about the administrators who came to your meeting. Was it just like you invited who could come, or you invited somebody that like really needed to hear about what you do to like kind of change their mind about something, or was there strategy behind that?
It was. I feel like we were strategic in who we invited to our meetings. All of our APs are amazing and they are very, very supportive of our department.
We'll make sure they hear this podcast then. So
get a little shout out. I'll give them a shout out for sure. But yeah, I do think we were strategic in who we invited. The assistant principal that came is really engaging. He's new here as well. And he is really open to a lot of the ideas that we would like to implement here at the school. And he's going to work very closely with Lauren on a lot of different activities and things that we want to plan moving forward. And of course, our principal, who else better to have at that table than our principal? I mean, but she is amazing and she's extremely supportive of our advisory council and our school counseling program as a whole. But it's also good for her to hear too, exactly what we're doing and how we can make effective changes with what the work that we do with our students. So,
and we don't always have time to sit in and brag on ourselves, you know, and advocate. And like, it's cool to brag on yourself, like do it, but this is like a set time, a formal meeting, if you will, to go over these things. So it really was fun when we were sharing some of our data and she's like, and she's like just as excited as the other stakeholders.
Oh, yeah.
And that it feels good to share those things with the people at the table, especially your principal, who maybe you don't get to share that stuff with all the time.
Yeah. And principals and administrators love data. Like once you start speaking it, their ears are perked up. And I don't know if you've ever worked for one of these kind of principals before, but the ones who love receiving awards and like they all want their school to have the national blue ribbon, the rank status, the whatever. And if they can see like, okay, here's like a part of my school that's on track to be recognized somewhere. They're like, okay, what support do you need from me?
Yeah, because
we're moving in the right direction for another award.
That's where we are right now that you're describing our principal.
It's not a bad thing. It's like, really, it helps motivate you because they're really motivated, but they're also coming to you with like, okay, well, what support do you need to make this happen? I think that's a really good leader who is aspiring to that.
That's funny, but that's so accurate.
That is so, our high schools are very competitive with each other. So anything that's like that, it's just like, oh, wait, what? What can we do?
What?
Doing
you
what?
Can, you have an advisory council? We want one too.
Exactly. Oh no, we're going to have the best advisory council.
All of our administrators showed up to ours. How about yours?
There's like 50 people in the room.
Exactly. Oh my gosh.
What is something great that has come out of having advisory councils for y'all this year?
That's a great question.
I think just leaving, for me personally, leaving feeling empowered and having the opportunity to advocate. I know for someone who is newer in the profession, I think that's a skill that you do have to learn and kind of practice and try out. And that is a very safe space to do that because you also have backup as well. Like you have your director there and more seasoned counselors. So I think for me, just feeling empowered, getting motivated, like during the meeting, hearing the feedback from the board members, the students, I was able to think, oh, next year we can do this or this. And I'm just like in my head, like thinking of all these really awesome things as they're sharing their feedback. So I think for me, practicing that advocating and feeling empowered was a great thing to come out of it.
And high school counselors like don't get to brag on themselves that much. It doesn't feel natural because
they're
behind the scenes helpers. And so we don't have this platform. You have a platform right in front of you to brag on all the good things you're doing.
Exactly. And this is your opportunity to have those important stakeholders at the table. You know, it's easy for us in the world of education to complain about, oh, woe me, we don't have this. They keep throwing all of these things on our plates that we shouldn't be doing as counselors. This is your opportunity to show them why you can't do this. Do all of these extra duties that are not counselor duties, if you will. That's your opportunity to advocate for yourself. That's your opportunity to show your stakeholders how valuable you are to a school. Like if there are no counselors in the school, that school will fall apart. Counselors are truly the heart of any school. I mean that in every sense of the word or every sense of that statement. So this is your opportunity to show them, y'all need me here. Exactly. And y'all need me here doing this, not testing, not 504s. You need me here working with these kids because these kids need me. And when I'm not working with them, this is what you get. But when I am, this is what you can expect from
your students. Or if you replace those with non-counseling duties, look at all of that, everything that you've missed in just a semester or a quarter. Like, look at all the things that we're able to do because we're not counting test booklets in a closet somewhere.
Yeah. So that is definitely, it's your time. That is an advisory council. Council is a way for you to advocate for yourself, to show what you can do, to show what you need to help your department be the very best that it can be.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Do you have any new programs or like what were some of those new ideas that you've had, Lauren, coming out of some of those conversations? Like you're brainstorming, your mind's going 100 miles an hour. Like, I can't wait to leave here and get some of this going. What are some of those new things that you've been thinking of?
So focusing on freshmen, I think the biggest thing that our student council member who came was saying that a lot of these newer students are feeling not motivated to engage with the school. They just, like, we had a Powderpuff game recently and they're not super engaged with it. They're not getting rowdy in the stands, cheering each other on.
You're not even excited about the fun stuff. So
Exactly.
They're not coming out and trying these things. And part of that could be COVID. You know, it's the last time they were in a traditional setting was like sixth grade.
Yeah.
So now we need to get them back connected to the high school, the fun stuff about high school that you look forward to.
Yeah.
So we want to do something called, and we actually talked about this a little bit, the Freshman Fridays. So once a month, we would have an event just for freshmen so they can connect with each other, other students in the school who volunteer to help us out, other counselors, teachers, and start to learn who everyone in the building is, that they're an important voice. You're a freshman, like come in and help us create a new school culture. Like you're a different class than the one who graduated. You can contribute so that they feel safe doing that. We also want to have a freshman only advisory board. So we would have the freshman counselors, some APs, and the one AP who came to our advisory council will be the one helping us out with this, as well as a wide range of students. So we, and teachers as well, who teach ninth grade to help us kind of monitor attendance, monitor behavior, any topics that they feel like we need to cover and classroom lessons. So we'll meet annually, or I'm thinking even maybe quarterly, to kind of assess where we are and then adjust. And then my hope is the year after we can do a peer mentor program as well. Just really focusing on getting connected to the school, because if they do well freshman year, they're less likely to drop out. So really that's what we're targeting. Like, feel safe here. You want to come here, you know your resources. So
those and are it some sounds like ideas. That's going to meet so many of your like counseling goals, probably with attendance and behavior and discipline.
Absolutely.
You know, but it's just like them getting their voices heard. And so, I mean,
feeling connected.
And you can look at that at the advisory council. Like, even your counselors on your team are going to feel more connected to each other, to the program, to their job, because they're being celebrated. They get to share the good things that they're doing. So like, even from like an employee perspective, it's like, this is a good thing to highlight all of our strengths.
Everybody wants to feel like they belong. When it comes down to it, we're all human. We all want to belong. We all want to have our voices heard and have our needs met. Mm-hmm. And the only way to have that happen is if we feel safe sharing our voice, whether that's other teachers to us in the school, counselors to admin, or students to just the school as a whole. Mm-hmm. So
it's cool that you took like those, even just the, your school counseling advisory, you know, principles and applying it to students and making it kind of its own program too, to better the school. That's awesome. Tell me about everyone on your team's role leading up to the advisory council. Like, do you divide the duties kind of to like prep for it, or is it one person is kind of in charge prepping it and then everybody shares something when they're there? What is everyone's role leading up to it and then once they're there?
Well, we do have one counselor who's responsible for putting the agenda together. And so she'll put the agenda together. She will get the invitations out to our stakeholders and get the RSVPs for those folks that will be able to participate. And then in our PLC meetings, we have counselor meetings a couple of times a week. We will kind of go through the agenda and talk about who wants to do what. Like every counselor will take a piece of that agenda to talk about, and they're responsible for that entire piece, whether it's bringing that data or whatever that entails. Every counselor would be responsible for that piece. So she just kind of puts it on paper, and then every counselor kind of take it apart. But we kind of talk about it as a group several times before the meeting and review it together a couple of times before the meeting, just to kind of make sure that we're all on the same page and everybody has what they need prior to the meeting, so that everything can kind of go as smoothly as possible.
And then it doesn't feel like a burden for one person, because you don't want to become one person's thing, because like you said before, then no one else is engaged and no one else cares as much.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
It's so exciting to share like what you're doing in the school. Like I've been doing a small group, so I wanted to share that. And we have our P&I have been doing an awesome small group for kids who aren't sure what they want to do when they graduate.
Yeah.
They're targeting those kids. They're doing different assessments to figure out what they may want to do after high school. Uh-huh. And they got to share that piece and make their voices heard. And then our Closing the Gap action plan, like all these different pieces, everyone had their niche and were able to share. And when you see people light up about what they're passionate about, I mean, it's contagious.
Yeah. Everyone around the table can see it. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. What advice do you have for someone who either hasn't started an advisory council before or who has reservations for starting one?
Try it. just try it. Just put it out. I mean, instead of complaining, I am a solution focused person. I like to focus on the solutions rather than the problem. So if you have issues in your department or within your school, use your advisory council to come up with solutions for those problems. So just try it. Start early, like do program planning prior to the year, so that you can put it on your calendar and it's already there. It's already planned. It's just a matter of sending out invitations and putting together your agenda. This is an opportunity for you to show what you're doing. You're always, you know, we hear counselors say all the time, they don't understand our role. They don't understand what we do. Well, tell them. How will they know unless we tell them? So you have to be the voice. You have to be the, you have to be the person that shares that information with others in order for them to get it. So I would say start early, put it on the calendar and just try it. Like just try it, put your whole heart into it and just try it once. You'll be pleasantly surprised.
I agree. And getting all of your team members to contribute, because it helps them buy into the process of it's not an extra thing to do or it's a burden. Just not having one person doing it themselves, really collaborate with each other and lean on each other to make it a beneficial and pleasant experience and use it to your benefit. But
absolutely,
I would say be a team and really work together.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Y'all are speaking my language. I'm the same way. I hate when there's a complaint, but there's not a solution. And I imagine administrators feel the same way when people in the school come and complain about something, but they don't have a solution. So it's like, let's either come up with something, like have an idea of your own, but you don't even need to do that. Bring all the people around the table and they'll come up with the ideas for
you. Exactly.
Don't reinvent the wheel. Use what you got.
You know, like the people on your team have great ideas, and then hearing just other people's perspectives, because even if it's not, I always think of some of those students or parents who haven't heard about the programs. It's like their perspective might be that you don't do anything, but it's because they haven't, you realize, okay, there's a gap in communication somewhere. Like we're doing it, but maybe we need to put on the announcements and the website and social media. Like you're realizing, okay, but they're not hearing it. So like, how do we solve the problem? You're problem solving around a table together.
We talked about that too at an advisory council meeting. A board member said, you know, you guys need to start telling your story.
Yeah.
Like y'all need to tell your story, because people don't know.
And you're like, okay, we're starting here.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we did.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the next day it was all on social media that we had our advisory council meeting. We put it out there to let folks know, hey, we are doing this. We are doing some good things here at Ashley Ridge. And they also put it on their social media and tagged us in it. So we are, that's one thing that we're going to focus on next year is making sure we're telling our story.
That's our catchphrase now. We all keep saying it. We're like, we're telling our story.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Because it just creates this momentum that changes a department. It changes a school and it ultimately changes students because that's what your goal is anyway,
that's to change the ultimate
students
goal.
For the better. So what do you have? Do you have like big goals or things that you're changing about your advisory council for next year? Or like, what are your hopes and dreams for it for next year?
Well, I would like to have more parent involvement, and kind of get in different. I mean, this year we pulled from our PTSA parents to participate only because we knew that they were already engaged. They were already coming to the school. So we wanted to get more parents involved. Like we said, we want different levels of students involved. We want different level of parents involved as well. I want those parents who have students that they're always getting bad calls. I want them to come to school for something positive, you know? So that's definitely a goal. I think trying to get parents, we would love for our board members to continue to be a part. Definitely. I think that was really, really cool having them there. I know that our principal will still be in place. So for me, I think the only thing that I would say would be to get more parents and just kind of get different levels of parents involved
with us. Hopefully, you know, well, we're definitely starting the ramp process next year. Hopefully we get it, but we were throwing around having consistent board members, consistent people seeing our story from the start to the end. They can see the change through data with us. So if we constantly have a rotation, like even in, you know, counseling, if you're having, you know, counselors leave and new ones come, it's kind of hard to relearn, retrain, and keep everything consistent. I'd like to see we have the same people coming in so they can continue to track with us our data, see the progress being made. They probably have opinions of what's working, what's not working, so we can adjust. So I'd like to see some consistency with who we have there.
Yeah.
It sounds like you guys have a great plan in place. You've had a successful year with your advisory council and a great plan in place for next year, just to keep seeing growth and change, and it's doing what it's supposed to do.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly. And I think that's what people don't realize. If they do it the right way, it will do exactly what it is supposed to do. And it will be empowering. But if you treat it as just another thing I need to check off my plate, that's exactly what it's going to be.
Yeah. And it works for you. It does the work for you. Like the people around the table, the brainstorming, the ideas, you don't have to do much other than invite someone there. And it's like, how hard is it to send an email, the same email each meeting?
Right.
Exactly. And you, I mean, it is so, we felt so good after that meeting. Like we were all fired up, so excited after that meeting. Like, okay, y'all, we're going to do this. I mean, it is so empowering. If they just try it, just try it the right way. I assure you, it will reap its benefits or its rewards.
Well, with that motivational speech, I think we've left the listeners with some homework to do, to put it on their calendar, to start thinking about who they're going to invite to the meeting, because right now is a great time to start like amping yourself up.
Absolutely.
Because at the end of the school year, you don't have to do anything right now. Just like get in the right mindset for when the school year starts and be ready to have those people around the table to show off the good things that you're doing. Start collecting the data, start thinking about who you want around the table, and just get excited to start an advisory council next year.
Exactly.
Whether you're going for ramp or not, the input is invaluable.
Exactly.
100%.
Absolutely.
Totally agree.
Well, Lauren and Vira, thanks for coming on the podcast. This was so fun. This is my first podcast episode that was two guests at the same time. So y'all are down in history. Well, that was such a fun peek behind the curtain of Lauren and Vira's School Counseling Advisory Council in Charleston, South Carolina. I love hearing what other counselors are doing in their building with their stakeholders and students and administrators. It is so cool to feel like I'm not alone in this community. There are so many other high school counselors out there doing good work for their students. So thanks again to Lauren and Vira for sharing their story, getting to tell their story. That was a really cool thing to hear. And if you are interested in hearing more about the Counselor Click community that I have going on inside the Click Collaborative, we're opening doors to that in August of 2022. And I'd love to have you on the wait list to hear more about when we get closer to opening those doors. This is my high school counseling community where your voice is heard, you don't have to be alone, and you get to bounce ideas off of other high school counselors just like yourself. Go to clickcollab.com to get on that wait list. That's CLIQUECOLLAB.com, and you will be the first to know the opening day that we open the doors to the Click Collab coming in August. So I'm looking forward to that. I hope y'all had a great time listening to this episode, and we'll see you back here again next week. Thanks for listening to today's episode of High School Counseling Conversations. All of the links I talked about today can be found in the show notes and also at counselorclick.com/podcast. Be sure to hit follow or subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast so that you never miss a new episode. Connect with me over on Instagram. Send me a DM at counselorclick. That's CLIQUE. Thanks so much for hanging out with me. I'll see you next time.